the journey of today's saint, St. Edith Stein, is a remarkable one and, in a sense, summarizes the journey of a Christian in the modern world. You probably know the basic lines of her life journey. She was born into a Jewish family in the late 19th century, German Jew. She, as a teenager, abandoned her Jewish faith, not for the reasons that the Nazis hated the Jews. She intellectually didn't see any purpose of it. She couldn't see the truth of it, so she became an atheist as a young teenager. Then she started her pursuit of truth, led her into philosophy. She had a very good mind, so she started pondering philosophy and became quite an influential thinker and a follower of some of the leading philosophers of her time. Eventually she encountered Catholicism, first by witness, seeing a Catholic woman, and then by reading. She encountered St. Teresa of Avila through reading one of her books and discovered that what she was searching for in philosophy, she found in faith. So she became a Catholic, which was a terrible, her mother and her family considered that a terrible insult and a rejection of her own people, and eventually she became a Carmelite nun. Now you would think that's enough. That's already a huge journey of faith, conversion and sacrifice, and then finally a complete dedication of her life as a Carmelite nun. But it was in the era of the Nazis, and the Nazis were fanatical in their pathological hatred of Jews. You know this. Not only Jews, but pretty much anybody who wasn't Nazi. So they hated everybody, and they were a violent regime. Edith Stein, now Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, that was her religious name in the Carmelites, she was transferred out of Germany into Holland, get her out of the way of the Nazis. But when the Nazis experienced some pushback from especially from the Poles, they decided to crack down even harder, not only on the Jews, but on converts. So they tracked Edith Stein down, hauled her out of the Carmelite convent, the monastery, and brought her into the death camp, Auschwitz. And there she was killed in the gas chamber. And we honor her as a martyr of the faith. Now, the Nazis would not have thought of her as a martyr of the faith because she was a Jew. And they said, oh, she's just a Jew and we're just getting rid of all these Jews. But she understood that she was a Jew. She never denied her heritage, but she also understood that her union with Christ gave her a privileged place to offer herself in sacrifice with Christ for the sake not only of the Jews, but of all people. So she became a giant of the faith. She became a martyr, a witness of the faith, of how faith triumphs over the worst possible evils, like Nazism. So that's Edith Stein, and we might look at her and say, well, okay, I also believe in what she believed, but it's a little bit intimidating to think about laying down your life and submitting yourself to the gas chambers of the Nazis. We might think, well, I don't want to quite go so far. So, and we're probably not as wholehearted in our response to God as she was. So we have a lot to learn. She can be our teacher. Well, with Edith Stein, St. Edith Stein in mind, let's turn to the scriptures, which are also instructions in this way of triumph over evil, this way in which God deals with the problem of evil in the world, which is not the way we would deal with it. Our natural tendency would be to say, well, that over there is evil and I'm not, that should be destroyed and I should not. They should suffer, those bad people should suffer and I should not. That's how we think. But that's not how God works it out. Let's take a look first at today's First reading is from the one of the minor prophets, Nahum. I think this is the only reading from Nahum that I can remember, maybe in the whole year. It's an odd little book because it seems to be a kind of gloating over the fall of the Assyrians. Now, the context is that the Assyrians had dominated the Jews and dragged them into exile, and they were a notoriously wicked, violent regime. You could say the ancient version of the Nazis. Actually, every tyrant and every tyrannical regime follows some of the same patterns, right? They think they're great, they think they have the right to do whatever they want, and they have the power, and they use the power against everybody else and crush those whom they can oppress. Well, the Jews, being victims, were very happy to receive a message from the prophets that this situation is going to be reversed. You, the Israelites, are going to be restored, you're going to be lifted up from your exile, brought back home, and the Assyrians are going to be completely demolished. They're going to suffer the fate that they inflicted on others. They're going to get a taste of their own medicine. And that's what's described here in this short excerpt from Nahum. The first part says, okay, O Judah, you're going to be restored. You're going to be restored. You're going to have, this is a message of good news to you. But to you, the bloody city, that's Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, you are going to experience this very graphic downfall. Horses, chariots, crack of the whip, the sword, the spear, many slain, the piles of corpses. And once you get to this description of piles of corpses, it makes you think again of the Nazis or any wicked regime or any period of war where the dominant military power decimates their victims and piles up the corpses. But here, it's not seen as a bad thing. It's seen as a kind of just punishment of the bad guys. So Nineveh will be destroyed, and that's a good thing. So that's kind of the message of Nahum, that God's in charge, and in the end, he's going to restore justice. Now, we like that kind of a message. We like to hear that bad guys get punished and good guys get restored. When we hear that sort of thing, we forget that that's a result of it's part of a long process, because before the bad guys get knocked down and justice is restored, there's a lot of suffering also on the part of the good, on the part of the righteous. That takes us to today's gospel, where Jesus takes this the right understanding of restoration, a restoration of justice, and this right understanding of how God brings things into order, and he describes it through his own paradoxical journey of the cross. How is God going to defeat evil and reward the good? He's going to do it through this contradictory method of the cross. This is at the very heart of our faith, the cross. That's why today's saint, Edith Stein, she has the name Teresa Benedicta of the cross. The cross, which looks like a terrible thing, a terrible defeat, a terrible injustice, and it is also the means by which God is going to restore justice, is going to reverse the domination of evil. And Jesus says, this is the way, this is how I'm doing it, this is the divine method. And anyone who wants to follow me has to follow this way. Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So our natural tendency to want to be the winners and to be in charge And to see that guy suffer has to be abandoned. Instead, we have to recognize, well, God can use our participation in his suffering for good. And that's a privilege. This is where Edith Stein is an instructor to us. She recognized the power of the cross. She recognized that there was a divine power released in sacrifice with Christ. That's why she became a Carmelite. The Carmelites understand this. But even as a Carmelite, she wasn't completely out of the grasp of the Nazis. And when they came to the convent to drag her away, she didn't flee or hide. She said to her sister, "Let us go for our people. Let us go for our people." So she made a willing sacrifice of herself for a greater good. That's faith. That's what faith makes possible. And this is, it's an expression of what Jesus says here. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. If we take that natural way of thinking and put ourselves at the in the driver's seat, we're going to lose, because we're not tapping into the power of God and the way God defeats evil. Whoever loses his life, meaning whoever makes a gift of his life, will, for my sake, will save it. Whoever welcomes the wisdom of the cross participates in the victory of the cross. And that's the good news. Now, it always looks bad in the middle of the process. That's why it's important to see the whole picture, see the victory, and keep in mind the victory when we're passing through what seems to be the loss. That's why, for example, Jesus made that great revelation of his glory on the mountaintop 3 days ago. He celebrated the Transfiguration. Why a vision of glory? Because that's part of the story, and we shouldn't forget it when we're carrying our cross. We shouldn't forget that the cross is not only defeat, it's a path to victory, a path to glory. So that's, I think, to help us in our own journey. We're not being dragged into the gas chambers, but we do have our share in the cross. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, it looks bad, feels bad. Suffering is always going to be distasteful to us, and we have a natural aversion to it. But with faith, we see the bigger picture, and we can say yes to the Lord. Yes, Lord, I will follow you. No matter what the cost, no matter what the cross, I will follow you, because I trust in you and not in my strength or in any armies and natural powers. I trust in you, in your power to restore things, to overcome evil, and to grant a share in your victory to your disciples.